You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Please turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua. We'll be starting a brand new series through the book of Joshua, a journey of faith. Looking at Joshua chapter 1 today. Several years back, when I was just a little fella, I remember I was sort of timid. I was sort of a cautious guy when I was really young, and I remember one particular day that we were at a water park, and my mom, my family, we were all trying to go up this water slide. It wasn't a very scary water slide. It was just one of the ones that slowly moved in circles, and I was already kind of trepidatious about going up there, but she talked me into it, and the further each step I got up, the more concerned I got about being up there on this slide, and somehow or another, I don't quite remember how it all played out, but I remember standing in front of this hole, this tunnel into the great abyss, and I remember being absolutely terrified, and I remember my mom pushing me down the tunnel, and she was trying to push me, but I had grabbed the sides of the slide, and I was not gonna let her push me to this watery abyss, and so I was hanging on for dear life, and because my mom knew better, as parents often do. She knew that if I would just go down it one time, I would have a great time. But I didn't know that at the time, and I remember hanging on for dear life, and then you got one of those kind of young punks who are running the water parks. That's what they do. You just hire a punk. If you ever worked one of those places, that's just what you look like. I don't know. That's what they do. And so he's sitting there and he's going, "Lady, I don't think this guy wants to go down." Like no kidding. This kid's screaming and crying. And so like a Looney Tunes cartoon, my mom begins plucking my fingers off of the slide. And slowly but surely, I start going down the slide, screaming and crying and just, you know, ready for meeting my maker. And on that first loop around, I'm cursing and screaming and crying and cursing that my mom ever existed, that I existed, this horrible life. And then something happens around the second circle. I got thinking, hey, this isn't quite as bad as I thought it was. And by the time that third circle rolls around, hey, man, this was kind of fun. And I splashed down and my mom ran down the stairs to greet me. And you know what? My mom was right. Trusting is not always easy. We see that in the book of Joshua. Trusting God and having faith is challenging sometimes. It's challenging a lot of times. But God wants you to trust Him with everything. And maybe that's the difficult part about it. There's some things we can say, "Oh God, you can have this part, no problem." But then He says He wants that part, and then this part, and every other part. See, God wants you to trust Him with your future, with your decisions, with your needs, with your hurts, with your questions, with your families, and with your very lives. God wants you to trust Him with every part of your being. You see, to walk the journey of faith, we must learn to trust God. So look with me in Joshua chapter 1. And then we're going to look mainly at the verses 1 through 9 this morning. And then we'll give a little bit of background just so we can know where we're at here in the book of Joshua. So look with me in chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot will tread, upon I have given to you, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea, toward going down the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all of the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do all according to that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we have worshiped you through song and through giving, and now we worship you through your word. So Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts, but we ask that your presence will be felt here in a mighty, powerful way. We ask this thing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's get a little background here just in case you're not sure much about Joshua and where it's happening in Old Testament scripture. So we'll back it up a little bit. I'm going to give you the easiest to remember background leading to Joshua that you've ever learned. Are y'all ready? Okay, good. Just check. So this is where Israel was at up to this point in their history. Israel spied, Israel cried, Israel tried, and then Israel died. That's it. That's the end of it, okay? The end. Y'all have a good day. Right, that's it, right? This is where Israel is at up to this point. So Israel spied. Remember, so God had taken Israel, had began them with Abraham, and then they went to Egypt, and then they were in slavery, and then God set them free with Moses, right? This is where this is leading us up to where we're at. And so then God brought them to the promised land. The land said, this is where you will live. I have brought you here for this purpose. And then they spied it. And then how many spies went in? We know what? 12 went in. 10 of them gave a bad report. And only 2 of them came back and said, hey man, God is going to let us do this. The other 10 said, we're like grasshoppers to these people. And they refused to go in, even though God promised that he would fight this battle with them. So they spied, and then they cried, God, we can't do it. We're not going. And they didn't. So then God said, fine. If you don't want to, you don't have to. You'll be wandering in the desert. You're not going to go there under these terms. So then they said, oh God, we don't want to do that. So then they did try. You know what happened? They failed. Because they went without God. We'll do more on that later. And then most of them, almost every one of them, died in the desert, not receiving the promises of God. So the great biblical character, Moses, is dead. Joshua is the new leader. So this is the question that you see at the end of Deuteronomy, the book before Joshua, right? This is the question that they have. Will Israel fail, or will they rise to the occasion unlike their ancestors? Will they rise, or will they fall? Up to this point, the people of Israel did not know. So look at me in point number 1, verses 1 through 5. Believers, we must trust His presence. If we're going to walk this journey of faith, we see that all throughout the book of Joshua, it's this exhibition of what it means to live a life of faith. And so believers, we have much to learn because we are still a people of faith. They must trust His presence. See, Joshua's name means Yahweh saves, or delivers, or God saves, God delivers. But look with me here in verse 3. And God tells them, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give to you, just as I promised most. You see, the land had already been given. Israel simply needed to take it. So why could they take it when their ancestors couldn't? We see in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and Numbers 14, as they tried to go without the Lord. God's presence was not with them. They said, all right, God, we're going to go and we're going to fight. And they went and they got beaten, they got bruised, they got killed, and they left like with a, and got whipped like a dog with his tail between his legs. They ran back to where they had been because they tried to do God's work without God's presence and therefore without God's power. And they failed. But the new generation of Israel learned that they couldn't receive God's promises without God's presence. See, church, God's presence empowers us. It's important to understand that God's presence is the means and it's the end of redemption. Are you with me, church? God's presence is what empowers us to do what God wants us to do. And now they didn't have the Holy Spirit as we have the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has come and lives and dwells inside of you as a believer. So the God's presence empowers you to do the work that you're supposed to do, that God wants you to do. But God's presence is not just the means, it's the end. That's what we want as believers. That's our greatest good, our highest good for humanity is to be in the presence of God. If you remember correctly, in the book of Revelation, it says that believers, we get to see God's face. And we know all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament that we're not allowed to see God's face. The highest good, the best part about heaven, the Bible says, is being in God's very presence. I can't wait to see old friends. I can't wait to see authors that have encouraged me and challenged me. I can't wait to see biblical characters and family and friends. I can't wait to see all those things. But the Bible says the greatest part about heaven is God's presence is there. Undiminished, unveiled faces, we get to see God. See, God's presence empowers. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture says this. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Now, we don't come out of arrogance because we have nothing to offer God. It says because of what Christ has done, we get to come boldly to the throne of God. We get to come to God as if we are Jesus Christ because of what has happened in salvation. That God sees us as He sees Christ. And so we can come as children who love their Father, whose Father loves them in return. We get to come into the very presence of God. See, God's presence empowers us. If we want to accomplish anything in this church, we need God's power to do it. And if we want God's power, we've got to have God's presence. It's been encouraging to me the last several weeks. I've talked to people, visitors and church members who just said, man, there was just something special, a sweet spirit that was here that made me want to come back. I felt that I was cared for. I felt that I was in God's presence. That means we're doing something right, church. We are aligning our wills with God. Look, we see that God's presence not only empowers, but God's presence encourages. Look at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Moses, son of Moses. Moses is his cousin. You are young. Moses, assistant. His assistant. Moses was the guy. Joshua was assistant to the guy. And then God says, you're the guy. I know you've been the other guy. And he's the guy. Moses, who did all the real work, right? And you were just along the way. But now, you're the guy. one of the greatest biblical figures throughout history, and certainly throughout the Old Testament, is Moses. And he says, you got to replace him. By the way, last time we tried this, last time we went into tried to go in the promised land, the people wanted to stone Moses. They almost killed him. And now you got to take over. Good luck, John. That's what he told him. See, God's presence encourages his saints. You know, one of my children in one of a New Mexico storm, we have similar storms here in Arizona. When I lived in New Mexico, you had these wild storms that come sweeping down the plains, right? And it was one of those nights where the rain, instead of raining down, was raining sideways. You've seen those rainstorms here a couple of times. And when one of my little ones was in their room, and that rain was just splatting on the side of the window. I mean, it was thundering and lightning, and it was a powerful storm. And so kids often, as they do, when they get scared, what do? They go and they get into mommy and daddy's bed. Why? Because mommy and daddy's presence encourages them. Mommy and daddy's presence comforts them. Mommy and daddy can't change the storm. I have no effect on it whatsoever. My presence changes her perspective. Brother and sister, sometimes you get discouraged, you get afraid. You need to spend time with Daddy. You need to spend time with your Heavenly Father. You spend time in God's presence, and He encourages us. I like that amen I thought I heard over there. That's good. That was a good spot for it. That's pretty good. And there's been times in my life when I got real discouraged, when I've got real down. You ever been there before? Frustrated, sad. I've been there. You've been there before. I remember this particularly kind of dark part. And I was really upset, really down. And a friend of mine just sent me a verse out of Deuteronomy. It says a very similar thing to what it says here in Joshua. It just says this: God has not forsaken me. I'm with you. My presence is still with you. I'm walking alongside of you. Now, this is the John Russo translation. But I needed to hear that. I was frustrated. I didn't want to go forward with the path that God wanted me to go down. But He said, I haven't left you, John. I'm walking every step of the way with you. I haven't forsaken you. Maybe some other people have forsaken you, and they had, and it hurt. But God's presence was with me. And I need to know that. Maybe you need to know that today. That God's presence is with you wherever you go. There's no substitute for the presence of God in our lives or in this church. Smoke machines can't manufacture the presence of God. Great music, which is what we have here every Sunday, cannot manufacture the presence of God. A good orator cannot manufacture the presence of God. There is no substitute for the presence of God. There's a big difference between saying God is everywhere, which is absolutely true, and saying that God is here. There's all the difference in the world between God's presence and God's manifest presence, where we can feel it. Charles Spurgeon says this: the best evidence of God's presence is the devil's growl. You like that? I like that. You know what that means? Is that Satan doesn't like God's presence. He hates it. He hates the work of God. He hates you as a believer because you are in the image of God. He hates it. And so when we start doing things for God's kingdom, Satan will start to get a little rough. He's going to start to growl. And the people that he sows in the churches, and make no mistake that there are unbelievers that come to our church every Sunday, and some of them call themselves church members, by the way. This has happened all throughout church history. I'm not bashing on somebody who made me angry this week or something. That's not what's happening here. All throughout church history, the Bible says the weak and the tares, what do? They grow together. And Satan's going to start ruffling things up a little bit when we start doing things for God's kingdom. And I say, good. That means we're doing something. We are pushing back the darkness in Tucson. And if you think Satan's going to sit idly by, Satan and his forces are sitting idly by, then we've got another thing coming. We keep on. We press on. So can I encourage you, brothers and sisters, a word of application for this point? Is seek God's presence. If your life is, your walk with the Lord has grown cold, your walk with the Lord has grown boring, maybe your walk with the Lord has been sinful, I'm telling you, you need to seek God's presence. You're not spending enough time in God's presence. It is God's presence that gives us joy and excitement and direction in our lives. Seek God's presence. Do that with this church, with the church that you're a part of. Worship God together. That's a way to seek God's presence. And spend time with God alone, with your Maker. And if you can do this, I encourage you sometimes, man, get a posture of prayer. Get down. You'd be surprised. Once you start praying and just bow down before God, humble yourself. Now, somebody's physical abilities don't allow this. That's okay. But it's amazing how the heart bows down when the body bows down. Just spend time seeking God's presence. If you're not a great singer, that's a great time to sing and worship the God, or worship God all by yourself. I do it all the time. Doesn't matter who hears me then, because it's just me. God, He knows my heart. It's a great time to worship the Lord. Seek God's presence. Point number one was trust His presence. Point number two is trust His promises. We see this in verses 6 through 9. We see that they are on the cusp of going to the promised land. The promised land. The land that God promised. He promised it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He said, this land that I've set it aside, I've cut it out, is for you. Take it. It's already yours. Just take it. See, God promised His presence, His victory, His land. He promised success. He promised all of those things to God's people. These are conditional promises. Look at me in verse 6 to 7. He says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do all according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Success, by the way, is following God's ordained purpose for your life. It's not about being rich. It's not about having a lot of money. It's not even having a lot of friends. It's following the God's ordained purpose for your life. And maybe God's ordained purpose is for you to be rich and to help other people out with your riches. Maybe God's ordained purpose is for you to be a missionary and have nothing on the mission field. Either way, you follow what God tells you to do. And Israel was to be listening to God's ordained purpose. He wanted them to have great success, but these were conditional promises. He said, you must follow my way and my word. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. He said, if you're going to do my way, then you must do it with my word. You will not get my promises. You do not get my presence if you don't do it the way that I tell you to do it. Because I'm God. I'm your Father. I know better. You can trust me. Sometimes we say, no, God, we start plucking our fingers off of whatever we're hanging on to, right? That's what Israel did the first time. They learned the second time. See, if Israel stays the course, they get God's presence and His promises. If they do not turn to the right hand or to the left. I've got a couple pictures that I wanted to show from a trip, and maybe it can help us understand this a little bit better. There's a national park called Zion National Park. Have anybody ever been there before? Oh man, it is beautiful. It's one of my favorite national parks that I've been to so far. And there's a particular trail on there called Angel's Landing. And long story short, you go up this spine that you see in this picture, and they have chains that go alongside it. And where that person is standing, to the left and to the right of it, is a 1,000-foot drop. You fall, you die. Can you go back to that previous one for just a second? And so these are not my pictures. I was too scared to take a picture when I was going over this and like that. But I did it, you know. But you go to the left, you die. You go to the right, you die. Keep the path. God's word. Don't turn from me to the left. Don't turn from me to the right. Don't go the way of the world, because it brings death. It brings destruction. It brings harm to you and to your family and to your church family when you do the things opposite of what my word says to do. It says, don't do it. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. God's not just some cosmic killjoy. He's saying to turn away from me is to choose suffering and death. Turning away from our Creator's plan brings you harm. Proverbs 10:22 says this: the blessings of the Lord make rich, and He adds no sorrow with them. We can take a picture off. The blessings of the Lord make rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. I'm not sure if you've heard it. I've heard one amen. I mean, I'm telling you, the blessings of the Lord make rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. Praise God. There's no fine print on God's promises. You all been there. We've all bought the thing. And then there at the bottom, it says, if you do this, you can't enjoy the product. You do this, you take the wrong way, it kills you. Whatever. It's got 1,000 different things on there. And it says but what it advertises and what it can do are not necessarily the same thing. But God's promises have no fine print. That's how I understand that passage. He adds no sorrow with it. God's promises are so good, so wholesome, so true, so loved. Think about the blessings that you have in your life. Is there anything more good and pure promises than God? His promises bring no sorrow with it. Satan promises a lot of things. His forces, the world promises a lot of things. And boy, they bring a lot of sorrow with it. I'm getting to the end of this. Verses 10 through 18, we won't read all that in the next section, but I do want to read verse 16. So the people have been challenged. This is what God's people said. In verse 16, and they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Isn't that the right response of God's people? Whatever you say, we'll do it. Wherever you want us to go, we'll go. That's it. And that's exactly what they do in the next couple of chapters. Pastor David Kinney says this: faith is grounded in the confidence of God's presence in today's unsettledness, and the conviction of God's promises working in tomorrow's unseen. Praise God that we have God's presence here in difficult times and in good times. We have God's promises for us in the future. Things that we worry about, things that we work hard for, things that we aspire to, God's promises work for them. See, God's promises are good for your past, your present, and your future. God's promises can save your soul, friend. God promised to forgive anyone that comes to Him and call on the name of Jesus Christ, regardless of what your background is. God says, if you turn from your sin, you turn towards Me, become a Christian. That's a pretty good promise. God promised the Holy Spirit to believers. He said, look, this Christian life, you can't do it by yourself, but I'm sending Comforter. I'm sending the Teacher. I'm sending the Counselor. The Holy Spirit has a bunch of different names. He says, I promise He's going to be with you. Look at the promises. God. And I just encourage you as a point of application and we'll be done. To have the promises of God be any use to you, you got to know the promises of God. And if you want to know the promises of God, then you need to spend time in His Word. Studying what God says about Himself and His character and all His promises flow out of that. So it's not some rigid, you know, discipline. It's just getting to know God better. So when you know His Word, and then you start relying on God's presence, relying on God's promises. And we get to trust God's promises, even when it's not easy to trust God's promises. Even when it feels like people have forsaken you. But God says, I'm there with you. Be of good courage. Be strong. I'm with you. Trust the promises of God. See, to walk the journey of faith, we must learn to trust God. Trust God. Faith and trust are often translated from the same word in the New Testament. Put our faith in God. To have faith, to be a person of faith, is to be a person who trusts God. Trust Him. As we move into the invitation time today, this is the challenge of God's Word. It's not complicated. Can I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to make sure that you're seeking God's face and not just God's hand? Don't we do that from time to time? A lot of times we just say, God, what can you give me? How can you bless me? How can you keep me safe? How can you take care of this problem? And we want God's hand, and we don't seek God's face. We don't seek God's presence in our life. And I encourage you, spend time in this invitation time and in this week. Make sure you spend time seeking God's presence, seeking God's face. I encourage you to trust His Word, trust His ways. God's ways are not our ways, what it says. God's plans are not our plans. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. So what John Russo wants to do is oftentimes not what God wants to do. So we must learn to say, God, despite what my human instruments are telling me, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you that your ways and your word is right. Give me the strength. Stand on the promises of God. Stand on them. Don't waver. Don't rationalize them. Don't excuse them. Stand on the promises of God. They're good to learn. My brothers and sisters that live in retirement homes, and they need to know that God's presence is there with them. Young person, you need to know when you go off to school, promises of God, trusting God's promises. He's with you. He'll enable you. It'll help you. And everybody in between. Promises and the presence of God are needed for all believers at all times. Man, I hope you know the Lord. The promises of God are no good to you if you don't know Him. Has there been a time in your life when you've turned from your sin, you've trusted the Savior, and you've become a Christian? Has there been a time in your life when you've done that? If you've never done that, when everybody's standing and singing, come and talk with me. If you can't do that, fill it out on the card. We can talk later. Don't leave here unsure of where you spend eternity. God has promised heaven for those who know Him, and He has promised hell for those who want nothing to do with Him. God's promise and His presence are what we need. So let's pray. Lord, thank You for today. Lord, thank You that You have met with us. Lord, thank You that You love imperfect people who fall and fail and fall and fail again. Lord, help us to trust You. Help us to know Your presence in a real and personal way. forgive us where we fall short. Speak to our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name.